We end up calling a timeout, and Doug's on the sideline calling the plays, and Nick Foles on the field. And Foles comes over, and he communicates to Doug, whatever. We can't hear upstairs what is going on. We had no idea. And all of a sudden, he walks back in, and one of our, you know, I think our quarterback coach upstairs asked Coach Peterson, like, what'd you call? And he goes, Philly special. And my heart dropped a little bit, because all I could think about was, these fans, they're going to blame me if this does not work. Like, I'm not going to be allowed back in Philadelphia. It's going to say Ryan Paganetti told them to run a trick play and throw it to Foles, and, like, some disaster is going to happen. And then I swear, I really thought I was never going to be back allowed in Philadelphia.
So good. Ryan Paganetti is the name. That's his Twitter handle, too. How about that? I mean, I am no Eagles fan, but, well, they were playing New England. And you win my heart with stuff like that. Just, it's so easy to rip on a trick play that doesn't work. And it's not like that can't ever be appropriate. But it's always too cute. It's almost like cute should be good. But if it's too cute, then it's bad. Cute can stand. Too cute is the problem. And it just will always be the same, I think. Maybe it's already happened. I don't know. More and more teams getting creative. How about creative instead of cute? Because creative is good, right? Do we have to use a word that we know is insulting? Creative is good. Maybe it's already changed in this way, but look out if, whether you're an analytics director or a head coach or anybody else, calling a play, unconventional play, in a big spot, if it doesn't work. If it does, we'll never even think about it twice. Unless it's, you know, like that is legendary. I mean, that's fourth down in the Super Bowl, throwing a pass to the quarterback. I mean, it has it all. That one has it all. And, you know, like Ryan said, it didn't have to work, but it did, and it worked pretty easily. I mean, Foles, if you remember the play, from Trey Burton, he's the tight end who throws the pass, and Foles is just alone, walks into the end zone on that play. Really good stuff. But the ones that fail, we have a DeMar Hamlin fake punt against the Chiefs in the playoffs that maybe we would not even remember if the Bills could have won that game, and they certainly had chances to later on. But, you know, failed trick plays kind of live forever. And only the very best and biggest of the trick plays that work also do. Hook and ladder, Miami-San Diego, and this one, and I'm sure a few others. 803-0550 for your calls. Did you like that? I mean, Ryan has had a very interesting career, and I'm just getting to know who he is, and loved having a chance to sit with him here for the last 20 minutes or so. Just before we started talking, the top tweet on my feed is from Travis Yost, and it's a picture of a gas tank where the gas is 90 cents a gallon. And he tweets, if you follow Travis, you can see it. He tweets, at Gas Buddy, should I disclose location? Where is this gas tank where the gas is, I mean, of course, like mispriced, probably anyway, at 90 cents a gallon? And so I'm like, I see that. I'm like, who is Gas Buddy? So I run the cursor over the Twitter handle, Gas Buddy. And you know how it says, like, followed by people that maybe you follow? And so there's that. And it says, followed by this person, and three others that you follow. So now I click on that to see who is following Gas Buddy. And the first name is Barry Bonds. I think the premise here is where you can maybe find out about locations where gas is cheaper. I think, right? Wouldn't that be the point? What do I need Gas Buddy for? What does Gas Buddy say about itself? Gas Buddy helps you save money on gas. All right, well, that works. That holds up. So, Barry, what is Barry Bonds up to? Well, for one thing, he's following Gas Buddy. He might say that he doesn't know if he's asked. He might say, I didn't know I was following Gas Buddy. I don't need to worry about the price of gas. I'm Barry Bonds. I was thinking about him for a minute. Really, the point isn't going to be about Barry Bonds, because I don't want to lose you. But like a week ago when I was off, After, I think maybe, or maybe it was after I was here, it doesn't matter. But recently, one day I was talking about, again, how much I hate instant replay. And in this World Cup, which has been so fabulous, you still have these very sketchy decisions and really just, we can't review all fouls, which is good because that would be insufferable. But if it's a yellow card, we can review it. And we had the one in the game with Argentina and Switzerland where the yellow card was overturned. And because they caught the other guy diving, they gave him a yellow, which meant he would get a red card and be thrown out. And all of this just because we have replay. And as ever, there are people who say that that's all good. He took a dive. Why shouldn't he have gotten a card? But there are just, it's because of the same logic that I use talking about the NFL. It's because there are just dozens of plays in every game that you could do where you could do the same thing. Most of them we probably don't even have replays of. If they do, they might not even want to show them because all it does is make the refs and the league look bad. So I just think if you're picking and choosing those, it's just an endless frustration, and you're not really getting it right any more often, in my mind. I mean, maybe one play, but all the ones you're missing really don't deserve to be overlooked. So it's just like sort of a simple logic point for me about replay. For the number of times when you don't think twice about it and a call is overturned, often even though it doesn't look like it should be, right? How many times, even in this World Cup, do you have the officiating expert come on? I heard it recently in a game when I was driving. That's not a penalty, and then it was. So you can't even get the foremost experts in officiating to agree. That happens all the time in the NFL. I mean, all the time. Then it's got to be clear and obvious and all of this. So how is this about Barry Bonds? Somebody pushed back at me, a few people did, about this replay point, and it's just such an eye roll every time. Like, don't you get it? Come on, don't you get it? They don't get it. And somebody brought up Armando Galarraga's non-perfect game for the Tigers. This was, I think, in 2010. And how, you know, again, a bad, it's always the same. Well, what about that? A bad call deprived him of a perfect game. Quick. Name for me anybody that's thrown a perfect game in the last 20 years. Quick. Well, if you're me, you can't do that. I can't think of anybody. But I know of Armando Galarraga because of that play. So he doesn't throw a perfect game, but it's almost better because everybody thinks he deserved it. And how different is his life? He knows that he deserved it. So, I mean, he might as well claim it. There's no perfect game society, right, where he gets to go to a country club once a year and celebrate each other's. He's not. If they had that, he'd be invited anyway, probably. He'd be allowed in. I mean, there's no practical benefit. I mean, you know in your mind that you did it, you know? Even without the instant replay there to save us all. And, you know, I think when I think about that point, I think about, like, Andre Reed. And, okay, Barry Bonds. And guys who, for different reasons, I mean, Reed is now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but for many years was not. And I would always say about that, I mean, hope nobody would take offense to this, or Andre Reed himself wouldn't take offense to this, I hope. But the longer he goes as somebody that gets talked about every year about whether they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, kind of like the better for him if he wants to monetize it, or if he's, you know, if fame is the point. Now, that's different than the perfect game point because that Hall of Fame is a club and you want to be in the club. But when have we ever talked about Andre Reed since he got into the Hall of Fame? You know, Bills trivia and stuff. He's a Bills legend. But in terms of the league, like, once you get in, that's kind of it. There's no more real, there's no next thing. You get in and that's it. And Bonds, I mean, this is really not, last point, this is really not still happening because Bonds is his own subject, Bonds and Clemens. But for a long time, if not still, the debate is, should they be in the Hall of Fame? And, you know, they're not, and maybe they'll never make it. But once they do, that's the end of that. Then he's just a stat, you know? Then he's just a memory. Not to be cold about it, but there is value in being the exception. There's value in the guy who didn't get the call. So I went a long way with the replay into that, or maybe the other way around. But that's where my thoughts went. Here's Dave with us. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for taking my call. This is kind of a convoluted question, but about the Bills. Last season, they seemed to always have poor first halves and good second halves. It's as if they made adjustments. So I know the league doesn't have a salary cap for coaches. Could they add coaching staff to review in real time and make adjustments on the fly?
Well, I would think that they would probably tell you that they already do that. And I wouldn't dare to tell you different. Just a matter of whether it works out. One thing myself I don't think about the Bills is that they have too few coaches. I think it's ridiculous almost how many, not ridiculous, I mean, I'm sure they all have their purposes, but how many do we really need? I mean, the position coaches have assistants, and they might even have their own assistants, and all the different, we just talked to an analytics guy, there's lots of those people. I mean, it's dozens on staffs now. And I would probably say, not to sound like maybe they would sound when answering such a question, I mean, if you're asking the Bills this question, they would say, we believe in our people. So you're not asking the Bills, you're asking me. Without any judgment on their people, I think there would come a point where it's too many. Too many chefs, too many cooks, too many voices, too much noise. So I don't think it's a matter probably of too few people. I think it's a matter of having the right ones and those people making the right decisions. So I don't know. That's not how I would think to try to fix that. I think what you said is mostly true, though, about last year. I don't know if it's every year. And by the way, I'm not sure it even matters anymore because the head coach is out. New defensive coordinator. Whatever it means to have Joe Brady in a greater position, still the play caller. I do love a team that can get out early, though. Like I've said many times, comebacks get all the glory. But it's way better for your chances of winning to be the team that gets out in front early. You don't want to have to live playing from behind all the time. Get the lead, dictate the game, make the other team have to chase you. It's better than the other way around. But comebacks are so glorified. Oh, the heart. One thing I got to say about this group, they did not quit. Nobody quits. It's just great. Thanks. You don't even need to say it. Get the lead. That's a sign. Not again, I'm not taking this to Dave's idea that it's not because it's because they don't have enough coaches. But I think how coaches script plays, how offensive coaches tend to script plays. I would guess that Brady does this, but I guess I don't know for sure. I think we've talked about this with him, that really that is one strong indicator of good coaching is if this is, again, back to a conversation we had with Warren Sharp on the show a couple of weeks ago, that you're really on it. When you can come out with plays that keep your opponent on their heels, that's, you know, a good sign for your team. It's a good sign for your coach. Third quarter is good too. We are 1-1 at the World Cup. Still plenty of time for this goal that I didn't really even see to be overturned. So, remember, when you're watching sports, don't enjoy yourself in these moments. You got to wait. Make sure it's allowed to count. Argentina is celebrating, as are their fans. It's 1-1. We'll see if it remains that. Late, by the way, in Atlanta. 86th minute. Winner gets Spain in the final on Sunday in New York. And they might have orange skies like we have today. 803-0550 for your calls. We'll talk some golf with Brian Koziol and the Open Championship starting tomorrow. That'll be at 5:30. Lines open until then. This is Mike Shope on WGR.